5 o'clock in the Fast Lane. Your time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. With Brad Barnes and Brad Thompson, Chris Ranji, I'm Randy Carricker. And we have Take It or Leave It coming up in a moment. All you have to do is send your text into the Hot Shots text line 65780 if you would like to participate. Before we get to Teoli, however, back in 1969, America made a statement by having the first astronauts to allegedly walk on the moon. Now, America is achieving more firsts. And I'm not one of those allegedly people, by the way, Ranj.
Because Buzz will punch you in the face.
I know he will. No, I saw it on TV. I was a kid. NASA astronaut Anne McClain has been accused of the first ever space crime. Her estranged wife is accusing McClain of accessing her bank account while on board the International Space Station. During an under oath interview with the Inspector General, McClain admitted that she accessed the bank account, but said she had Worden's permission to do so. GQ lawyer and writer Jay Willis wrote, "Generally, if a ship is in international waters, it follows the laws of whatever country's flag it's flying. Federal law makes it clear that spacecraft in flight are subject to U.S. jurisdiction, too." Apparently, the same logic applies on the International Space Station, which houses agencies from five different countries. How about that?
That's cool.
Galactic crime.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
And it's a crime, really. Like, nobody gets hurt. This isn't like one of those sci-fi things where somebody murders somebody on a space station. That didn't happen. It's just a little cyber crime. That's cool. She did it. Congratulations.
I love this. I think it's great.
I do, too.
As is wont to happen at this time of year, NFL.com asked their experts to pick their playoff teams and their champions. Former Houston Texans quarterback David Carr, whose brother Derek plays for the Oakland Raiders, picked the Chargers and Patriots to play in the AFC wildcard game. He picked the Oakland Raiders to win the AFC West, leaving the Kansas City Chiefs out of the playoffs.
Whoops.
Take it or leave it, there's nobody in the world that Mead hates more right now than David Carr.
I'm going to take it.
Take it.
You think I'm going to take it?
I have to take it. He just said take it. So.
Yeah. What an idiot.
Do you think that maybe he just overlooked them and like totally forgot? You ever answer a question and then you get done with it and you're like, holy crap, I left out the obvious one.
What about
one?
The other one? Yeah. Well, he picked his brother, obviously, to win the division and likes the Chargers. So I think he was just running out of, and he had a lot of concussions when he was a player. So I think he was just running out of options.
What happens when Peterman starts in place of his brother? Oh. How does that work out?
Ooh, that's going to be bad. Like, did the other guy, they had another backup,
Lennon,
too. Yeah, Mike Lennon.
He's
with
still
the neck.
Around, yeah.
Yeah.
Huge neck on that guy.
Unbelievable.
How has he not been sacked and then his head falls off?
That's got to happen at some point,
so.
Doesn't it?
There's got to be some protection for that giraffe neck.
Yeah, he's another bad, tall quarterback, 6'7" guy.
Bad, tall quarterback.
Peterman's so nice.
I love it.
He is. Nathan Peterman is
you
like that
root
guy.
For him.
Yeah, where you're just like, Gruden will say, you dummy, what the blank you do? Sorry, sir. Try it harder.
Do you guys think, and have we all watched
like Tebow
Hard Knocks?
More talented.
Do you think that this is all a show by Antonio Brown? I think it is.
No, I don't think so. I think that Antonio Brown's eggs are scrambled.
Really? I don't think that he shows up with a camera in the hot air balloon and then has all this drama if it wasn't for Hard Knocks.
Well,
I
think certainly the camera in the hot air balloon is part of Hard Knocks, but he's going to show up lavishly anyhow. The others, he's been crazy. A couple years ago, he was throwing furniture out of an 18th story of a hotel. Like, he's
give you
nuts.
That.
Let's just say it's a show, but it's not. I think some of it is very real, but I do also believe that he knows what he's doing at other times.
It is interesting.
I think it's a combination of both.
That the whole helmet thing is because it don't look cool, bro.
It doesn't look good on him. He'll find one that does.
He'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Simple one, guys. Cardinals aren't playing today. Take it or leave it. You're pumped up for college football tonight.
Take it.
Oh, yeah. Take that.
I'm taking it.
Yeah, this is a good time for it.
I am taking it. Yeah, it's a great time. It's finally time to get a little something new on the TV and time to win a little money. Right, guys?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm going to get Randy betting this year.
It's going to be fun.
Yep.
We got a lot of... In addition to college football, last week of the NFL preseason, BT, take it or leave it, if you bet on week 4 of the NFL preseason, you are an absolute degenerate.
You know what? I'm going to take it just due to the fact that there's other stuff out there that you could be spending your money on. I will say this. It's better than waking up randomly at like 3 in the morning because you have to go to the bathroom and then betting on like Korean soccer or something like that.
Yeah, that's better. Yeah.
I'll say that it's better than that.
Have you done that?
No. No. Yeah, just because it's fun to wake up to like, did I win? Sometimes it's fun.
Do you get an alert on your phone when you win or lose?
No. Hmm. It just gets quiet or happy.
Oh, man. But here's the thing about betting and losing. You'll just win the next time and make that money back up.
That's what they say.
So you bet double, right?
Like, yeah, you just pyramid bet the entire time. Yeah, that works out really well.
Because you're just going to make that money back the very
next
time.
You better have a good bank.
By the way, just as an example for you, tonight, the Bengals guys that we'll never see after tonight are favored by 2.5 over the Colts guys that we'll never see after tonight.
I don't know whose guys I want.
Guys, take it or leave it. Cartier Gordon is going to play for a different basketball team next year, not named DePaul.
I'm gonna leave it. I don't think he's going to play for another team.
Well, he has decided to transfer. He was supposed to be eligible by the end of the season, but after the former SLU basketball player Gordon transferred from SLU to go to DePaul back in January, he has decided he's going to transfer again, even though he has yet to play a game for the Blue Demons.
It happens.
He sits out, too. I mean, at this point, if you are him and you're a college basketball program, you are... Everybody talks. I mean, people have to know what was going on with him behind the scenes at SLU, right? If you're a prospective program that's interested in him, are you staying completely away?
Is it possible, is it conceivable that DePaul simply disappointed him with the offerings of classes in his major?
Unlikely.
I won't say impossible, but yes, it's unlikely, highly improbable.
Okay.
What's his major? Do we know?
I don't know.
I don't either. Also, Dave Leto's apparently a little bit in trouble.
He might have been that.
Yeah, he got in trouble. So.
Big Sis, what do you got for us?
Take it or leave it, Yadi Molina gets into the Hall of Fame before Bonds or Clemens.
Take it.
I'm taking it as well. So when are those guys up on the ballot? It's coming up here in the next couple of years, right? So if they don't get in, then it goes to the...
Veterans.
The Veterans Committee.
So they've each got a couple of years on the ballot, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to find it.
I want to think that
those guys have been training in the right direction, I believe. So right now, Barry Bonds got 59.1% of the vote last year. You had to get 75, just a reminder, to get inducted. And Roger Clemens got 59.5%. So, and they were each up from the year previous.
So the question is, do you think one of them will get in within 6 or 7 years?
And then let me see, 8, 9, 10. They each have 3 more years on the ballot. I'm saying no.
Me too.
I'm going to take it.
Take it or leave it. In your lifetime, we will see normal, average people like us in space.
Take it.
Take it. Yeah.
I'm going to leave it. I don't think so. It's like, where should we go this year? Should it be Cabo? Should we go to Hawaii? You know what? Space. Let's go to space. We'll go to the moon or we'll go to Mars. That's not going to happen. I hope it does, though. Would you guys go?
I think if it were
fairly affordable.
I wouldn't.
If it were like a trip around the globe and that's it, or into space and then right back, sure. But I don't think I want to go to the moon.
I think I do. I think I'd want to go.
I think I'm too claustrophobic. I don't think that I would enjoy. They'd have to make a pretty big spacecraft for me.
That would be a little like terrifying.
Like that passenger spacecraft from that movie with Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh, yeah. And was Bradley Cooper in that one?
No, Chris Pratt.
What was that one?
That's when they were on the way to some planet.
Was it good?
It was good.
I got to see it.
Yeah, it's not bad.
No
and
way.
He wakes, I don't know, there are like thousands of people on the ship and they're all cryogenically frozen and they're supposed to arrive at the planet in I don't know how many years and he wakes up before everybody else.
Really? Was it as good as Starship Troopers?
I don't think I ever saw that one.
It was a great one.
Was it?
Yeah, it was really good.
Was that like in the 90s?
I think so. 97.
Yep.
So obviously Andrew Luck retired from the NFL so he could come play for his dad in the XFL, mm-hmm. and the St. Louis Battlehawks are going to be his choice. Take it or leave it, when he moves to St. Louis to play for the Battlehawks, he will find a nice home in Creve Coeur, maybe even Ladue, so he can stop by and have weekly visits with us.
Take it.
I'm going to leave it. He has a flip phone. I think he's going to live in a different neighborhood. I don't think he's going to go highfalutin like Randy. I think that he's going to end up somewhere else. Mm-hmm. I don't know where that is, but he's going to end up somewhere else. He's going to be like very middle class.
But it would be a mistake on his part to skip the visits with us.
Oh, he's definitely going to come on with us.
Right.
So yeah. I guess I'll take it and leave it. Why wouldn't he want to come in here and hang out, be a part of the shenanigans that we do all the time, take some shots at some teammates? You know, he'll have some fun with it.
Be raucous.
Take it or leave it. Crunchy peanut butter is better than smooth peanut butter.
Ooh. Leave it.
I think it depends on what you're going
to
put it on.
I'm going to leave it, but it's a closer battle than you think.
In general, for what you'd ordinarily use peanut butter for, peanut butter sandwiches, putting it on bread, creamy is better than crunchy.
Just for the spread factor, huh?
Yes. Now,
is that a thing, spread factor?
The spread factor is
going to be now.
If you are making peanut butter bonbons, crunchy is necessary.
Oh, those are the little things that you make at Christmas time?
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever you're doing, Randy, don't change it. Those things are awesome.
Yeah, we are going to go with creamy with those babies.
Don't mess around.
And take it or leave it. If Ozuna does not come back next season, the front office will use that money to bring in a big arm in the rotation like Odorizzi or Cole.
I'm going to leave it.
Well, Cole's not happening.
Odorizzi might.
Odorizzi, yep. That would be more likely.
Yep. He's from
like
around these parts, right?
Yeah, yeah, I think he's from Highland. Yep. Thanks, Big Sis.
Thank you.
And thanks for your text to the Hot Shots text line, 65780. The question was asked of Greg Amsinger, should the Cardinals and will the Cardinals bring Marcell Ozuna back? We'll tell you what he said and what we say next on 101 ESPN. That's interesting. Because
yeah.
I've said before, I don't know how many teams are out there that are going to be in the market for Ozuna, especially in the waters of salary that he's going to probably want to be swimming in. I don't know if the Cardinals are going to be one of those teams, but I do think his production, and it depends on what he does in the final month and a half of the season, warrants at least looking at him, and certainly without question providing him that one-year offer, the qualifying offer.
You do that. You make sure you're covered on that end, certainly, and if he takes that, then that would be
great.
The best-case scenario. Certainly he won't take a qualifying offer, but... Yeah, I agree with Greg Amsinger, especially the part of offering him a shorter-term deal. If you offer him, it's hard to believe, just like anything else, and this is the conversation we have every single time when it comes to players as they hit free agency in their late 20s, early 30s, is making the case of, is there best baseball behind him? Probably, but we used to live in a place where, I get it, in a whole market sense, it makes little sense to pay you for past performance. We've already paid you for that, right? We paid you pennies on the dollar, but we paid you. But that's kind of how the system was. The system is different now, and it hurts a guy like Marcell Ozuna for sure. Marcell's been your best hitter. He's been your most consistent player all year long. He's shown in the past that he can put up monster numbers, and he should end up getting paid. But people are going to be afraid to give him 5, 6, 7 years, which a contract, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, he would have gotten easily.
They shouldn't bring him back at any cost. But if they don't bring him back, they have to find that, I don't know if I want to call it guaranteed production, but it is more guaranteed production out of him than you're going to get from just about anybody else on the team with the exception of Paul Goldschmidt.
Who else is capable of hitting 30 homers? That's
Tyler
the question.
Tyler O'Neill.
Right?
But that's
if he
maybe.
Plays.
That's
from
maybe.
The top rope. Matt Carpenter. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. So that's the thing. I still feel really confident in Paul Goldschmidt. I still feel confident he's not going to have the down season next year he had this year. So for me, he's more of a certainty. Who else is a certainty on the team then? It certainly isn't. It's not Carpenter. Colton Wong's going to do what he does, but this offensively, what you're getting from him is about as good as you're going to get. You know what you're going to get from Dexter Fowler. You know Paul DeYoung's going to hit a bunch of home runs for you, but he's not going to be the producer Ozuna is. And then what about the rest of the outfield? Is Bader going to do that? Is it going to be Carlson if they start the season with him? I just don't. You have to have some kind of certainty when it comes to the lineup outside of Paul Goldschmidt. And I'm talking like big time run producing certainty.
Well, and I think that the biggest point with your point is the fact that it's easy to go out there with a lot of question marks if you have a team that you don't believe can win. If you have a team that say, hey, we're going to take our lumps for a couple of years.
There you go.
Here's your window, though. I mean, this is it. You signed Goldschmidt to the extension for a reason. You signed him to get the best years right here, right now. You didn't sign him just to be the guy and totally take everybody on his back, a ragtag group, no offense, but without another superstar out there. You need help. You need somebody else. The other teams can get away with stuff like this. I don't think the Cardinals can. And it doesn't have to be Ozuna, okay? Like,
it can be somebody else.
There can be a trade. There can be something else. The free agent market sucks this upcoming year. Outside of Anthony Rendon, we're all
in. I'm still going to bring him up.
We're all in on Anthony Rendon, but I don't see that happening. I don't see Rendon going anywhere other than the Nationals. Do you?
Who else is a good fit? The Cardinals are actually a really good fit for him.
They're a great fit.
So, I mean, I wish he would be in the conversation, and that'd be awesome if he were. But I think you have to assume that beyond Goldschmidt next year, the best bet you have to give you some real run production is Ozuna, because I don't know who else it's going to be.
And I think based on what you have seen from Matt Carpenter this year, all due respect to From the Top Rope, who else is going to hit 30 home runs and give you a 900 OPS? Who's even capable in this lineup? Like you said, Bader isn't going to do that. We know Fowler isn't going to do that.
Mm-hmm. Wong's not going to do it.
DeYoung is probably not going to be a 900 OPS guy.
The idea is maybe it's the guy that Greg brought up in Tyler O'Neill. Mm-hmm. Like, the thought is that maybe he could be the guy. He has shown this year in limited action. He's getting on base more. He's swinging and missing less. He's hitting more for average more. We know the big-time pop that he's got. But again, it's a big question mark going into the season. Now, organizationally, when you look at something, you don't know until you know. You don't know until you give somebody the reins and say, you go get it. That's exactly, by the way, what they did with Harrison Bader this year. And it didn't go exactly as the organization planned. They did not plan on sending him down this year and then having to recall him after he made some adjustments and got better. But they were able to do that this year because they had Ozuna, because they've had Goldie, and Goldie's gotten better here recently. I know he was kind of lost for the first couple of months. I think that's very hard to do in a position where you've gotten a lot of results out of in the past. You've gotten the numbers from out of in the past, and you don't have anybody else pick up the slack, like hoping.
Just this note, and I know that you really can't equate minor league production with major league production, but in 7 years of minor league baseball, the only times that Tyler O'Neill has had a 900 or better OPS were in A-ball, short season A-ball in 2014, and then last year with Memphis in 64 games. Otherwise, he's never even got to a 900 OPS.
So the thing with him is it's possible.
Yeah, it is.
But that's what I don't want them to go into next season with, is a bunch of, well, maybe. I mean, we might get this out of that guy. I mean, I feel confident. Again, they'll get it out of Goldie. But I have no confidence in anybody else on the team that they're a good bet to provide that for them.
I really think the Cardinals signed Jose Martinez with the idea that he would be a much better hitter than he's shown to be this year.
Right.
You know, they evaluated him on last year, and I would have expected that he would have been a lot, especially based on his start, a lot better than he has
been.
Well,
and I think that they evaluated him more. Last year was a great year for him, certainly, but that was his whole career. All he's done is hit, and for some reason, something has gone a tiny bit awry this year. But again, a contract that doesn't kill you in Jose Martinez.
Right.
If you give out the wrong contract to Marcell Ozuna, that's something that could hinder you as a franchise. Like, that's that kind of money. Now, we know that the Cardinals probably have a little bit of flexibility within their payroll, maybe a little bit more than they utilize. But if you pony up $20-plus million for him and he isn't the guy, that's a problem.
Here's the question that they have to ask. Is he worth what Paul Goldschmidt is? Do you give him a 5-year deal for $130 million? Or
I like Goldie a lot better.
If you are dead set on Goldschmidt being your highest paid guy, do you go 125 over five, $25 million a year?
I'll give him 4 years.
And yeah, I'd be willing to do that too.
I'll give you four, and I'll give you 100. Four and 100. You in?
I am. If I'm the Cardinals.
Yes. I'm not worried
Marcel,
about...
Marcel, you? Huh?
Hope so. No. He wants to be around Yachty.
I wonder how much... That's a good deal for any person. But in terms of baseball and what he thinks he's worth, it may not be.
He's got to think he's worth more.
Yeah. The only thing that gives me hope he's willing to take a little bit less is the firing of Boris. That's it. But that doesn't necessarily mean anything.
Not at all.
Or maybe he didn't want to be the fifth guy to a contract in a given year. Like, that's a problem, too, for Boris guys. Like, even if they're upper echelon guys and they're going to get paid, well, guess what? Harper is going to get paid first.
Right.
And then Machado is going to get paid. And then, you know, it's sometimes you want somebody to like you. By the way, we've got a lot of text message talking about Tyler O'Neill saying he's Randy Grichuk at best. It's a comp. I mean, it's a good comp. Now, Grichuk's still playing in the big leagues, doing some good things, but not a guy that's anchoring a team.
And we've had people text in, what about Dylan Carlson? What about Nolan Gorman? The exercise we're having here is, what are we pretty certain we're going to get? Yeah. You have no idea. Carlson looks great. He looks really good what he's doing right now. Does that mean when he gets up here, he's going to continue doing what he's doing? No. So that's what we're talking about, is trying to get some certainty with that lineup. And somebody else texting in that it's a contract year. Of course he's trying his hardest. The contract year phenomenon is kind of a myth. Like, there aren't a whole lot of really good numbers to back it up that guys are just better in their contract year than the rest of it. But even if that were the case, the reason I would be more willing to give him another contract is because I've seen it. I've seen it from him at the big league level, and I know he's not 30 years old yet.
But
you've seen him show up out of shape.
That's the thing. Devil's advocate. He showed up at 250 pounds, and after shoulder surgery, didn't really rehab it.
But he's doing it right now.
I wholeheartedly understand the reservations that the organization would have to a multi-year deal. Here's the one thing, though, that I think that the organization has learned at this point, certainly I've learned at this point being around Marcell Ozuna. Dude loves baseball. Like, he loves playing. Maybe his off-season workouts aren't his favorite thing to do.
Right.
Maybe that's not his jam. But once the season starts and once there's competition out there, kind of peps it up a little bit, gets him going, gets himself where he needs to be, and the dude's a difference maker.
In a case like this, I just need them to show me the baby. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I like that line.
Like, I need the production. I don't care what it takes for him to get there. I need him to show me he's going to do it.
It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN, and coming up, we want to hear from you. Send us whatever question you have to the Hot Shots text line at 65780. The Sports Six Pack next on 101 ESPN. We do appreciate your text to the Hot Shots text line 65780 for the Sports Six Pack. And with your questions for us, here's Big Sizz.
Of all available relievers on the Cardinals roster, is Carlos Martinez the guy that you trust the most to get the final three outs in the postseason?
Yes, for me.
As of right now.
Yeah, he's the guy. I honestly, there are a couple of guys that if they had the ball in the ninth inning, I'd feel okay about.
Gallegos.
Giovanni Gallegos is definitely one of them, and I know that's a lot to put on a younger pitcher, but I think that he could do it. I also think that Andrew Miller in the postseason, I would be fine if he was there and had the ball in his hand with the game on the line. But I like Carlos being back there. It gets a tad interesting sometimes, but he seems to bear down and make the pitches when he has to.
As Greg Amzinger called him, he's a top stepper for the manager.
He is most certainly that. Now, I would prefer it if he were to not make these so interesting anymore because, you know, at some point, and hopefully it doesn't happen in the next month, but at some point, if you're continually putting guys on base, getting the tying run to the plate or even on base, at some point you're going to give that up, and you don't want to do that. You don't want to get into that habit. So I'd like him to have a little bit – let's have some more clean innings moving forward here.
This one from the 314, a great question, by the way. Whatever happened to Tommy Pham? Did he get injured? Texter says, I haven't seen him in center field in Busch for over a year.
That's not why he hasn't played at Busch Stadium.
May I?
Yes.
He's been traded.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not. He's no longer with the Cardinals.
He's probably just been playing so bad nobody's heard anything about him.
Oh, no, he's doing pretty well. Oh.
Yeah, they got Henesy Cabrera and Justin Williams for him. You might say, who? Exactly.
Not great so far. And, again, pretty apparent right now that this team could use Tommy Pham.
Yes.
And could have used him all year long.
Be further ahead in the race.
Yeah.
This texter to the Hotshot text line 65780 says, by all accounts, Carp, they mean Marp. Marp is a class act, but Ben Fredrickson referred to him as a future Cardinal Hall of Famer. Do you agree?
I do. I had this the couple of weeks ago. We were talking about the Cardinals Hall of Fame, and we were talking about guys on this roster who are going to be there, and certainly Adam Wainwright and Yadier Molina will be there, be Cardinals Hall of Famers as soon as they're eligible to be Cardinal Hall of Famers. But I think that Matt Carpenter is also. Look at the home runs. Look at the doubles.
Top five MVP for a World Series team.
Yeah, he's in that conversation.
Top nine in the MVP another year. Until really this year, he'd been beyond good. He had been spectacular.
The only thing is, it might take a while due to the fact that it's a fan vote thing.
Yes.
And fans remember
recency
like
bias.
the end, right. You know. So it might take a couple of years. But his overall numbers have been so good. He's been so consistent for the Cardinals. And hopefully, again, they do come back to being normal for him because he's under contract for the next few years. But I think he is.
One of Jeff Passan's arguments this morning on our station against Yadi in the Hall of Fame was that you could tell the story of baseball in this era without Yadier Molina. So I'm going to kind of spin that. In this decade, if you had to tell the story of baseball besides Albert, how many Cardinals are included in that story?
Albert wasn't even in this decade, though, except for the 1 year.
1 year, yeah.
I'm still going to tell that part of it just because I want to. And they won that time. Yadier Molina to me is in the conversation still. Like, I'm still talking about him for sure.
Matt Holliday?
I think so. So here's the hard part that I'm having with this is, can you add on what's happened before this decade when you're talking about it? Like,
right.
So Matt Holliday, yes, played in this decade, but his the bulk of it was beforehand. He was a damn juggernaut. There aren't that many.
No, there aren't.
Yeah, I don't think you have to limit it to this decade.
But
to
not
tell
many
that
Hall
story.
Of Famers either, and that was the discussion. And the Cardinals have always prided themselves on having a Hall of Famer in uniform. And Yadi right now, I think, is the only one that we would logically say is. Maybe Goldschmidt, but there haven't been many this decade.
You can't tell the story of the Cardinals without him over the last 20 years.
No. That's right.
So... And for a team that did quite a bit over the last 20 years, if he's a guy you can't tell the story of them without, then I would think by it would stand to reason you can't tell the story of baseball without him either.
So Alabama football, they've been pretty good for a while. Clemson is number one in the preseason AP poll. Is Clemson the new Bama? Could you see a run over a decade or more with this Clemson program?
I could, absolutely.
To the level Alabama did it?
Well, all due respect to the ACC, I don't think it's what the SEC has been over this period of time. But yeah, I could see them showing up in championship games six or seven times.
A lot of it is because of what you just said. While it's Syracuse is building a good program, they're doing some good things over there. There are a couple of good teams within the ACC. It's nothing like the gauntlet of the SEC. Now, Alabama has not made it look like a gauntlet. They've ran right through it. They've made it easy. But when you have a great head coach, you get on the map, and you become a destination, you're one for a long time. So if they're able to keep Dabo Sweeney over there and keep him happy, keep him paid, and he's making tons of money, I think you're going to keep on rattling off W's.
Is there a place for Dabo Swinney to go, except for Alabama, if Saban were to retire?
The NFL.
Well, there's that. But would you if you're him? Because I think if you're in college and you're Dabo Swinney, you probably have a very high-paying job for life.
Yeah,
you go to the NFL and you fail 3-4 years,
then
you're out.
Then you come back and get another big check college.
You could.
And I promise this one is not from my brain. This is from the text line, 65780. Owl City, they have this, had
Who?
A big song. Owl City.
Who?
BT. Owl City.
Who?
Oh, I see what you're doing. Okay, they had this song. It was called Fireflies. Here's a portion. Okay, so the question for this song...
With Carly Jepsen.
What the...
Wait, what?
Wasn't that song with Carly Jepsen?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay. Okay,
different question, though. When he says... He gives 1,000 hugs to 10,000 lightning bugs.
Yes.
Is he giving all 10,000 lightning bugs 1,000 hugs each? Or is he giving 1/10 of a hug to all 10,000 lightning bugs?
Can we hear it again, please?
Yeah.
Just to verify. He's getting.
Oh, he's getting hugs.
That's the problem.
So, yeah. All of those bugs are providing him one hug.
They're all in on him.
Yeah.
Which, to me, doesn't sound like something to make a cool song about. It sounds like something to make a horror movie about.
Right.
Horror. Did I say horror?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Either one. It doesn't sound like something that I would make like a fun song about. Because that sounds terrifying. 10,000 lightning bugs coming at you all at once?
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
I wouldn't like that.
I'd like it for somebody else. I'd like to see it, but I don't want it to be me.
A few in the yard is always fun. You know, when I get home in the evenings, I'll let my dog out. Yeah. And she'll go to the bathroom. There's some lightning bugs. It's cool. 10,000 of them? Forget it.
Randy, I'm sure you've seen Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds
I have.
Movie. Okay.
Yeah.
Birds!
Do you think it'd be more terrifying if they were birds or lightning bugs?
Absolutely birds. Birds poop.
Everybody
they
poops,
peck.
Randy.
They do poop.
They peck.
They'll beak you.
Mm-hmm.
10,000.
It's a lot.
Wow. Big?
Oh, they're little lightning bugs. And they're coming to hug you. They're coming to do something nice.
Yellow? Black? Lots of? Yeah. I'm scared of birds, by the way.
Yeah. Thanks,
Paul.
Big Sis.
Thank you.
And thanks for your text to the Hot Shots text line, 65780. Coming up in the fast lane, if you haven't noticed, the NFL is in a quarterback crisis, and Andrew Luck only made it worse. That's next on 101 ESPN. That's the owner of the Indianapolis Colts, Jimmy Irsay, talking about Jacoby Brissett replacing Andrew Luck. And with the retirement of Andrew Luck, the Colts have gone to the extreme in a search for their backup quarterback. According to Ian Rappaport, during the past week, the team has met with Matt Cassel, Brandon Weeden, and Brock Osweiler, and they could also be waiting to sign someone after roster cuts are completed by other NFL teams.
Well, here's the thing with that list. Brandon Weeden, we know, is a gifted passer. Do we not?
We do.
Because I believe that Jerry Jones mentioned
He's
that.
He's one of the most gifted arms ever.
So yep.
Pass
they've
the
got,
Weeden.
They've got, oh, well, I didn't even
is
think
that what
of
you
that.
Meant?
No.
Oh.
No, I just thought it was, that's a great, by the way, great fantasy football team name. Pass the
You're
Weeden.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, how about that? Good for you. So not exactly the pool that you want to be swimming in when it comes to your, you know, last-minute backups. I think Jacoby Brissett for the Colts. He's fine. He's just not Andrew Luck. He's not going to lift them to the promised land. He's going to be battling it out for a job, and I root for him because he has a chance to get paid here and be the number one guy. But they're in a little bit of trouble.
Well, I like Frank Reich a lot, so I feel like if there's somebody out there that would be able to maximize Brissett, he's one of the guys that could do it. I'm with you. I feel like they'll be okay, but it's just not going to be nearly as promising as it once was. If you have a healthy Andrew Luck, that is an absolute game changer. I mean, you're talking deep run in the playoffs kind of game changer. I don't think Brissett is that. But it's still possible to get back to the playoffs with him.
Right. And even though the league loses a guy like Luck, I don't think that the quarterback position is as bad now in terms of numbers and numbers of bad quarterbacks that are playing as it has been in the past.
I don't think so either. Hasn't the league, Randy, always been a group of haves and have-nots?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like every organization is looking for their franchise guy. Yet every single year in the draft, there are QBs taken in the first round because either it's a swing and a miss or you weren't able to draft the guy that you wanted or it didn't work out in your system. Like, you're always going to have that. But I look at the NFL right now and I look at the list of quarterbacks and I feel like it's a really talented group. Now, maybe some of these guys don't end up working out. Maybe Jimmy Garoppolo is not worth all of the money at some point, and maybe he's not mm-hmm. the guy for the 49ers. Maybe it doesn't work out for, pick a guy, Sam Darnold. Maybe Sam Darnold doesn't work out. By the way, apparently he looks great. But this league has its stars. It's got its young talent that is on the doorstep. And then it's got a lot of guys that need to prove some things, a lot like it always has been.
When it used to be looking at the collection of quarterbacks and saying there were probably 10 to 15 decent ones in the league, now I think you could argue there are like 15 to 20.
Yeah, I agree.
Right? I mean, I'm looking at the list right now, and just looking at some of the players on Pro Football Focus and the grades on them, I mean, you really do have to get to, like, Joe Flacco's, like, number 22, graded out number 22 last year before you kind of feel like, you know, I don't know about him. I mean, there's a lot of good talent, and there's more coming.
And if you look around and project, there's only three or four situations where teams have definitively awful quarterback situations where you say, in addition to not having a guy, that there is no future. I think in the AFC East, I really don't know what Josh Rosen is going to be. I'm not a huge Ryan Fitzpatrick guy. I have been in the past. I don't know what the situation is going to be in Baltimore. I think that's really intriguing. That could wind up being really good.
Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson. I think he's going to be awesome.
Yeah, that has a chance to be great. Cincinnati, I think, is in bad shape. I think you've maxed out with Andy Dalton, and I really don't think that they have a top 20 quarterback situation, and I don't think there's hope on the horizon for that. I think Tennessee, I think we've seen what we're going to see from Mariota and Ryan Tannehill. But otherwise, the rest of the AFC, I don't think looks really bad, even with Denver, because they have Drew Lock on the horizon. And it's kind of the same in the NFC, because all of a sudden, you look at the Giants, and maybe that choice wasn't so bad of Daniel Jones. The Redskins, people think that the quarterback that they drafted from Ohio State can be really good. And the rest of that conference, I think, is in pretty good shape if Garoppolo can live up to his hype.
Yeah, Haskins might be just fine. I don't know if I'm not as confident in the system he's going to be in, but that's not him.
Right.
That's more the team he's playing for. Now, but I think as far as the quarterback talent goes, it's there.
And that's starting quarterback talent, and there's never going to be a time where everybody has a backup that you can win with. Usually you're surprised when you have a backup that you can win with. And I don't think anybody's ever going to go in. We're never going to have a time where you say, okay, there are 48 good quarterbacks in the NFL.
No. Very rarely do you go into a season and say, we will rally around Kurt Warner. We will
they had no idea.
Football. Yeah, that stuff doesn't happen very often. I'm interested in Rosen in Miami, how that ends up working out, because just a year ago, he was a very high pick, and I hope it works out for him. You know another guy that I'm intrigued by, because as far as, like, arm talent, size, like, he's got a lot of the things, a lot of the boxes that you would check. I wonder how much longer it is for Jameis Winston. Like, yep. Does he go next level, or does he end up going somewhere else
this
and
might
then
be a
starting
huge,
the backup this, carousel?
Yeah, good question, because this will be a huge year for him. Arians and he were buddies, and this is the last year of his contract, right?
I believe it is.
So that's a great question. And he doesn't have a lot of talent around him, but in that offense and with the stock that Arians has placed in him, he's never going to have a better opportunity than he'll have this year.
So that's really going to be about him. I guess mentally, I think that's the issue with him and kind of has been.
Maturity?
Yes, exactly. So will this be a wake-up call for him that one team said, you know what, it's not happening here, man. And so he's going to have to do it with somebody else. Now, he's going to be interesting for me, a guy who's maybe, aside from Mitch, and that's just selfishly, I'm curious how Trubisky's going to progress, if at all. But you mentioned a guy in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. That's the one I really want to see. And I want to see how he's used. I want to see if he's going to run as much as Harbaugh's talking about him running, even though he says he doesn't want to do that. That whole game plan, whatever they decide to do in Baltimore, that might be one of the most fascinating storylines of the season.
And it can change what the league is. If he can play and not get hurt, play the way that Harbaugh's talking about him playing, but not get hurt.
Or if there's a conflict.
Right.
If there becomes a disagreement and it starts to affect the team because he doesn't want to do what Harbaugh wants him to do.
Mm-hmm. People thought that RG3 and Colin Kaepernick were going to change the league, and ultimately they both got hurt, and obviously neither of them are playing anymore. And That's what happens with running quarterbacks, is at some point you're going to have to throw it because running is going to cause you to get injured.
That's
going to
be the biggest thing with Lamar Jackson. And we saw him in college. He was so good at just pulling the ball down and just he's gone. And his first instinct is oftentimes to pull the ball down and run. So how do they get him out of that? How do they get him out of that being the first instinct? The legs, what a weapon that is. If you're able to do that, if you're able to just take the ball and run and you can get your first downs and you can get touchdowns, all that stuff is great. And by the way, Lamar Jackson, if you're looking for a fantasy quarterback, that could be one that could rack up some points for you. But you have to be throw first. This is a quarterback-driven league right now. All the rules are set up for you to have success, for you to be protected, for you to be able to have time to get the ball in the air. And Lamar Jackson is going to have to take advantage of that part of it as well.
And his two receivers right now are his starters are Marquise Brown and Willie Snead IV. Seth Roberts is also there with Mark Andrews as their tight end. So they don't actually have a bunch of former Pro Bowl starters at the receiver position. So maybe a problem for them.
They'll turn them into Pro Bowlers.
Oh, yeah. Coming up next in the Fast Lane, college football is here, and that means things are getting serious in the SEC. That's next before With All Due Respect on 101 ESPN.